It's over.
Game over.
Game over, man.
It's over.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Give me the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Charlie Remeliotis.
Welcome into the Blackhawks postgame show. Charlie Remeliotis here at the United Center.
You don't know your
Quiet own down, Troy. Charlie Remeliotis here at the United Center. Troy, can you hear the organ music? It's happy.
It's happy.
It's happier.
But it's Christmas time. It's the holiday season. So I don't know if it's the win or just the holiday season music.
No, it's the win. It's the win. All right. Let's head downstairs. I think we got Pat Maroon, our post-game guest, with us, kind enough to throw on a headset. Pat Maroon was wearing the third A on his sweater today because Nick Foligno was out with an illness. Pat, we all knew coming into this game, or you knew going into the third period about the last few weeks and just having trouble holding those leads. How nice was it to kind of seal the deal in this one?
Yeah, especially when they tied it there. I thought we stuck with it. We had more poise with the puck. We didn't destroy it. We play connected. And I think that's the biggest thing. I still think we're still shooting ourselves in the foot a little bit with the turnovers. And, you know, instead of just getting it in, you know, that fourth goal there, we get it in, we go to work, we use the back of the net, simple hockey, you know, try to jam a puck, gets out front, and, you know, we have the third man high there and scores. You know, it's not all about the tic-tac-toe or the pretty plays. We just got to find ways to be predictable, and I think we'll have more results than losses.
I really liked your ability to dump the puck in there when you had the breakaway.
Oh, you like that, Troy?
I did. I thought that was a real smart move there.
I was playing for the team there. I was like, what am I doing out there with 6 minutes left? I got to dump
over your head.
Oh, I wanted to, but it's just one of those plays where he gave it to me so clean, and as I was turning, instead of sticking him first, I pushed it, and it just got away from me. I think I had more time than I think, too. Instead of shooting it there, maybe I could have brought it in, but whatever. Joey made a hell of a play there. I just try to get something off quick. You know, I wish I was a B-way, but I'm sure that would have happened anyways.
Pat, I know there have been some roller coasters of winning, then losing, then winning. I mean, how important is it going to be to try to capitalize on this win and string together some wins in a row to get a good feeling in the locker room?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the thing we've been doing. We've been losing one and then laying an egg two in a row. We know what winning hockey looks like. We just got to play that way. We got to find way to, you know, just focus on the next game. Try to win the next game. We win the next one, and then we try to focus on the next one after that. So I think that the biggest part for us is focus on the task in hand, which is Seattle coming in here on Tuesday, a good team that's playing good hockey right now. We got to focus on that and play winning hockey. We know what winning hockey looks like.
If you look at this team, the way it's playing under Anders Sorensen, the pace has been incredible, and there hasn't really been any drop-off in the emotion, the intensity in the game. I mean, whether you've got the results or not, I think the pace has been there. Is that something that he is stressing as far as the high-tempo, you know, aggressive type of game that you guys are playing now?
Absolutely. I think that's just, you know, our breakouts are more predictable. We're pushing the pace more. We have our weak side winger stretching out. You know, we have our strong side winger pushing out a little bit, gives us more time and space. So if we try to go up the strong side there, it gets bypassed. Now we got our weak side winger pushing the pace, and now we're into our offense. Now we can enter the zone with pace, and we can turn up, or we can hold on to it, wait till our second and third layers come in. We can put it down below, or put it high and get back to our offense. So I think we've been doing a good job of that. But the biggest thing for me, too, is the D are jumping up in the play right now. You know, hitting that third layer is a huge, you know, we have third layers coming up in the ice. So if that winger has time, he can hit that D-man with some pace. And now we got a four-man rush. So it's been good.
If you look at the motion that he wants, he doesn't want anybody standing still. How important is that to, like, the team speed, the transition, everything that, you know, you kind of factor into the game to have that motion in your skating stride, just not standing still in a specific position?
Absolutely. Well, we got our top two lines got a lot of speed, a lot of skill, so we need those guys with the puck, right? We need those guys with transition. We need those guys moving at some pace here so they can enter the zone. And if they don't like it, they get it in with some speed, they get the first touch on it, right? So I think that's the biggest take I can take away from that.
Good stuff, Pat. Congrats on the win. Enjoy the off day tomorrow.
See you guys.
All right. That was Pat Maroon. always a good guy to talk to. We got to be ready for him. Everything.
the last one when John said, oh, you know, go get him in the third. We pick you as the. He goes, oh, got to get going. He's a beauty. I'll tell you what. To me, he's been a great addition. I mean, he's such a genuine person. And if you ever watched him over the years, you know, the emotion that he's had winning the Stanley Cup, playing in St. Louis, in his hometown. I mean, there's so much passion in Patrick Maroon. And I think that's why he's a guy that every team kind of wants. He's won three Stanley Cups 3 years in a row. I mean, it was an amazing run for him. And he's done a fantastic job in taking Lucas Reichel under his wing. And we're on the road. We get to be in the mail rooms and stuff like that. And those two guys are always together. And that's really important because he's teaching them how to play the game. And I thought Lucas actually had a lot of jump in his game here this afternoon. So, you know, even on the bench, talking to Sorensen and saying, you know, we were talking about the inability of the team to stop those pushes from the other team. And he says, you know, we got Nick Foligno, we got Patrick Maroon on the bench trying to settle everybody down and say, hey, let's stay focused. We're okay. It's only one goal. You know, that's the veteran leadership that you want from the players. In a lot of ways, you want them to own that locker room. It's not the coach that owns, it's the players that own it. And when you have good leadership in there, sooner or later things are going to turn around and head in the right direction when they get the confidence and everybody starts playing the right way on the same page. And Patty Maroon, you know, you look at the stats and you say, oh, you know, he hasn't done a whole lot. He's done a whole lot more off the ice than on the ice as far as his production and goals and stuff. He means so much more to the team than just that.
By the way, we also need to update his fridge calendar because Washington's in town on Tuesday, not Seattle. So we just got to make sure he'll be ready for Tuesday, though.
Maybe he knows something we don't.
Yeah, maybe he does. He doesn't. Let's get
you
to this.
You don't know.
You just don't know. Let's get to this game as a whole. Hawks, they find a way to finally. I mean, they gave up that game tying goal to make it 3-3, but they get that late one by Connor Bedard. They can leave a game when leading in the third period with 2 points and not come away totally empty.
Yeah, and I thought that, Patrick had a great point there. They responded the right way after giving up the goal. And then all of a sudden you had to kill a penalty, too, right after that. You challenged it, and you didn't get the call, so it's a failed challenge. It's a two-minute minor penalty, and again, the penalty killing was excellent. I thought Connor Murphy and Vlasic, as that first pair out there, just did a fantastic job of shutting things down defensively, helping out Soderblom as much as possible. But you take the lead in there, and you give up the lead right away. And now you're tied. And it's like, okay, what's the mentality? And so for them to score and to kill the late penalty on Donato and then come out here and have Donato have the primary assist on the Bedard game-winning goal, you know, that is important. I know for Ryan Donato, he's kind of like Patty Maroon. He's not as vocal or anything like that, but, you know, he's got a lot of passion in his game. And I know that he was frustrated that he got that call on him. And good thing he didn't get another minor penalty because that would have been really dangerous. But the way that the team responded, the way it played, and it bent a little bit, but it didn't break. And then all of a sudden they get the goal by Bedard in the last minute. You know, that's big. That's huge for this group of guys that have worked hard to find things in a positive way, and they're finally going to get results out of this one.
Huge positive in this game. Teuvo Teravainen was named the number one star with a goal and two primary assists. Man, he desperately needed a game like this one where he can start to feel some confidence again. I think it was an 8-game goal drought that he was on prior to this game. Yep. So he scored his 7th of the season, first multi-point game, I think, since October. So it was nice to see him producing on the score sheet in a win as well.
Yeah, and you know, he kind of, his line played well. I thought his line played really well in this game. But he factored in on the Mikheyev goal, the first Blackhawks goal. And then in kind of a weird thing, the line changed, you know, at the last minute, coming out, going on the ice, whatever it was. Teravainen was out there with Taylor Hall, and Hall picks up his 7th goal of the season. So he factored in different ways, and then he scored on the power play. So he was involved in all different areas of this game. And I really think that, as you said, Charlie, there, this was a really important game for him because he's played on the top line. He's tried, you know, they've tried different areas. And the game yesterday, he was on the fourth line. and he was very ineffective in that game. And you know, you're in a position now. If you're the coaching staff, what do we do? If you're the coach, you say, well, you know, what's the next step? Well, maybe it's your turn to be out of the lineup and just reset a little bit and think of things. And so he, you know, I think that he kind of realized that where he was playing. And then for a guy that's, you know, he's not built to play in the fourth line, but if he doesn't produce offensively up top, and so you want him to be successful in that area. And I thought that his game was much more assertive in this one. He was aggressive. He won the battle along the boards to muscle it down the boards there to set up the Taylor Hall goal. So he did some really nice things in this game that I think the coaching staff can look at and say, you know, okay, here's what you weren't doing on the video, and here's what you did in the game today. That's a big difference. Keep your feet moving, battle hard for the pucks, get to the middle of the ice area, you know, those kind of things. And I thought that he was really good in this game. He was the first star for a good reason.
And you can sense that as a player when you go from the first line to the second line, then the coach drops you to the third line. Now you're playing on the fourth line. You know what that next step is if you continue to drop in the lineup and you're not getting that ice time. So it's nice to see that he responded to that challenge in some way.
What happens if you never got a chance to play on the first line and you went from the second to the third, to the fourth, to a healthy scratch?
You just get totally promoted after the fourth line?
That was my career.
Oh, it wasn't?
played behind Dennis Savard the whole time. I wasn't going to be the first line center, so I was second line center. So I moved down there. Okay, now you're a checker, now you're an extra, and now you're out of the lineup.
Well, the good news is when you're out of the lineup, there's nowhere to go but moving forward. So at least you moved forward after that.
Yeah, I peaked right there.
Yeah, that's when you peaked.
I peaked as a healthy scratch at the end of my career.
Oh, man. Connor Bedard, he scored.
Actually, I had another step, and that was retirement.
Touche. And now look at us. Look at us go right here.
Look at you, Charlie.
By the way, Pat Maroon is probably like having that. He probably threw on his headset, and I couldn't even pronounce his name. He's probably like, "Who am I joining? Who are these knuckleheads? Can't even say their names right."
And no, it was a fun game, and yeah. you know, it's so important, especially at this time of year. Everybody's in a good mood. You come down here, and the crowd was great this afternoon. You know, give them a lot of credit. It's been a tough year. It's been a tough stretch here. And the fans still come out here. And you know, when they see a game like this and they get rewarded with a real solid effort and a victory, that means a lot.
Can we somehow live stream the Patrick Waugh press conference? Because I don't want to miss out on another potential soundbite. Because he was critical of his team in the last game.
Yeah, he was. And I don't know what he's going to say, but I'll tell you one thing. They got to figure out their special teams if they want to make it into the playoffs. They're a 500 team, and they literally have the worst power play and the worst penalty kill in the NHL. And their penalty kill, they've had the fewest or the second fewest minor penalties called against them this year. So you don't get many opportunities, but how many goals they've given up in the short span of the what they've had to kill is just, it's amazing. And for the Blackhawks, 1-for-2, it was a 5-on-3, but hey, they all count, and the Blackhawks will take that one and put it in the bank. And it was an excellent play, and that was Teravainen's goal. But you know, the New York Islanders, you know, they're a team that they kind of got to figure out where they're going to go moving forward. They get Bo Horvat in there, and that'll give them a lot more depth up front. He's the guy that goes up against the other team's top guys, and it's Barzal that can add the skill there. And you saw him. He looked pretty good in this game for a guy that hasn't played since the end of October. So New York Islanders will have to try and figure it out. I had a chance to talk to my old teammate Patrick Waugh after the game in New York, and then down in the tunnel before the game tonight. He's a great guy. He's a very misunderstood person, by the way. You know, everybody thought when he was playing there was an arrogant attitude, aura about him. It was nothing about it, because he just hated to lose.
Right.
And he was very confident in his ability to be the difference makers. And when we won the Cup in 96, he was the difference maker. I mean, when Pierre Lacroix made the trade, which is maybe one of the best trades in the history of the NHL, getting Patrick Waugh and Mike Keane, the captain of the Montreal Canadiens, in a trade, it changed everything in Colorado. And you know, he brought in that attitude. And he's a no-nonsense guy, though. I mean, he's going to call out his players. He's going to say what's on his mind. And I know that he's not going to be happy in this game. They battled hard, and you give them some credit. And you know, them coming back and being in a position to get a point here, going down to the last minute, he's not going to be happy about how that play developed and how they allowed that goal to be scored. But at the same time, you know, I have a ton of respect for Patrick Waugh. And when he talks, he speaks, he knows the game. It's usually the truth.
Yeah. If you missed it, over the in the last game on Thursday, even though they beat the Blackhawks 5-4, they had a 5-1 lead in the third period, scoring three goals in a span of 2 minutes and 17 seconds. And he was extremely unhappy with the effort that they kind of just mailed it in over the last the second half of the third period. So he wanted to see them close it out strong in this game. And unfortunately, they didn't. Well, fortunately for Chicago, they didn't pull out the win. By the way, when you were talking about the Islanders' dead last power play after Taylor Hall committed that slashing penalty, you were getting ready to dig into the numbers, and you just know that if the Islanders would have scored there, I was getting ready to grill you for the jinx.
But I didn't really say I didn't.
You stopped short.
I didn't dare.
You did. You fell.
Now John, on the other hand,
he did. We both knocked on wood. What was it? It was the power play at the very end when he was like, right, or when he said. It was like 3 minutes left, and he was like, "Oh, the penalty kill has been perfect for 9 straight, or something like that." And I look over at Troy, and he's leaning under the table to knock on the wood here.
And I'm not a superstitious, you know,
neither
broadcaster jinx either, but fun to mess around with.
Yeah,
we got nothing to do with it up here.
Yeah, exactly. I knew that I shouldn't have said that in the last game about the jinx, and so I knew, I'm like, I'm gonna wait for an opportunity to see if I can go back at Troy. And then it was like, oh, the 32nd ranked power play hits the ice. Boy, they have just been terrible. And I'm just like, watch them score like 20 seconds into the penalty kill. I'm gonna be staring at Troy like, wait till the intermission.
But those are the facts.
Those are
the facts.
I was saying the facts too. Yeah. By the way, I don't think the Islanders had I think the Islanders picked up their first, maybe I'm misremembering this. I thought the Islanders were one of the other 7 teams that hadn't had a comeback win when trailing in the third period. I double-checked it, but I thought, I can't remember what the score was when they went into that third period in the last game. The Hawks up? No, the Hawks weren't up. It was 2-1, I think.
No, trailing after 2 periods, they're 1-6-1. So that
1-6-1. Okay,
was the game against the Blackhawks. And then Jersey did the same thing.
Yeah, so I thought I remembered it correctly, but I didn't say it at that time. So either outcome, they ended up snapping the streak. See, so we don't have anything to do with
didn't,
it.
Yeah, that's right. We didn't say anything. You didn't say anything in the Islanders game, and then you.
Yeah.
You know, so it doesn't. It works both ways.
Fair. All right. What kind of music we got here going on? You can hear some Munchkins. All right, Troy, I'll send you off now. You've been great. You're dismissed.
Can I go? Okay? I think this is Alvin and the Chipmunks.
It is Alvin and the Chipmunks. Yeah.
Our listeners can't hear it, but that's what they're playing there.
I think they can vaguely hear it in the background. It's certainly not one of our voices, although it could be mine. You know.
What's your name again?
Yeah, Charlie Rumeliotis. I'll practice.
How could you mess up your own name?
It was a tongue twister. You want to know what happened? Is I read the text that Pat Maroon was ready for us, and so I was trying to. I read it as I was doing my intro, and so I'm like, okay, I gotta fly through this, and so I got tongue tied. you can never stumble over yours.
This is
Troy
why I
Murray.
Love my job.
Just Troy Murray, just to.
Well, I know what happened to the game where they was like, you know, Steve Smith. I mean, you know, we could get those names out.
Yeah.
Kate Siplikoff.
Yeah, Siplikoff. That's the one I was reading.
Siplakov.
Yeah,
Siplikoff.
And he's the one I started because I'm like, okay, this is something I'm going to probably have to talk about in the post game show if the failed challenge ends up coming back to haunt them. And I'm writing down Siplikoff, and I'm just like, God, I hope this doesn't matter because I don't want to say this name on the post game show. What else? Chalowski,
There's no W in it.
Hudson Fashing. Yeah, this isn't as bad as some of the other teams,
but
I think St. Louis has a lot of. I remember calling the St. Louis game with Joe Brand. Actually, we did last year. It was the first Connor Bedard game, and I was like, Joe, I'm just going to lean on you. You just, whatever you say, I'm going to copy that. So I have no idea what these pronunciations are. Okay.
All right, I'm out.
All right, get out of here, Troy. All right, Blackhawks picked up a 5-3 victory over the New York Islanders here at the United Center. They have a much well-deserved off day tomorrow after playing three games in New York, and this was the second of a back-to-back, so it was a good effort, good win for the Chicago Blackhawks. We're waiting for some sound to roll in from the Blackhawks locker room. Looks like Connor Bedard spoke to the media. I think Teuvo Teravainen, I'm sure he did as well. So hopefully we hear from them on the other side of the break. The Blackhawks postgame show rolls on after this on 720 WGN.
Wilson along the left boards, gave it away to Murphy. He's going to go for it. Fires it toward the empty net. He scores! Empty net goal for Connor Murphy, his first of the season. 5-3 Hawks. With 10 seconds left in regulation, that's the exclamation point.
Back here on the Blackhawks postgame show at the United Center, where the Blackhawks took down the New York Islanders 5-3. That was the empty net goal by Connor Murphy that sealed the deal for the Blackhawks from 176 feet out. His first goal of the season for Connor Murphy. Let's get to today's player of the game, which is sponsored by Burger King. Get your $5 Whopper Jr. today. You rule. Hard not to go with Teuvo Teravainen, the guy with the 3 points today. One goal, two primary assists. The first on Ilya Mikheyev's goal in the first period. The second, Taylor Hall's goal, his seventh of the year, with 20 seconds left in the first period. That was the third multi-point game of the season for Teravainen. He had just 3 points in his previous 10 games, ends up getting 3 points in this game, and he was also on a little three-game point drought. And so Troy and I had talked about it, how he was kind of moving down in the lineup, so it was good to see him have an offensive breakthrough for the Blackhawks. Much needed as well, outside of just the power play success that the Blackhawks have been having this season. Good to see them put a 5 spot on the board, and Teravainen was part of the solution to the Blackhawks' struggles offensively. And also, I want to point out, that was the first multi-point game of the season. I mentioned it was his third of the season. That was his first since October 17th versus the San Jose Sharks, when he had 2 assists in that 4-2 victory. I think that was the home opener. So, yeah, it had been a while since Teuvo Teravainen had really snapped out of his offensive scoring struggles in a big way. So it was nice to see him break through in that department. How about Taylor Hall? He also found the back of the net, his seventh goal of the season. Taylor Hall now, he's got 9 goals in a Blackhawks sweater. 8 of the 9 goals have come at the United Center. So, man, he really likes playing in this building. And I think, too, him being put on a line with Frank Nazar, kind of sliding into that role over the last 2 games since he was called up from the Rockford IceHogs, I think you're seeing them able to play a little bit more of a speed-type game. Ryan Donato was in that second-line center spot before Nazar's call-up, and so now you have Nazar paired with Hall and Bertuzzi. Bertuzzi can kind of be the puck-retrieval guy, go into the dirty areas, aggressive forecheck, net front guy, and then Taylor Hall and Frank Nazar are kind of the speed type players. And so it was nice to see Taylor Hall end up picking up a goal. He also almost picked up an assist too. We mentioned Teravainen. I think it was the second power play of the game for the Blackhawks, with a minute and 48 left of after they had scored to make it 3-2. Taylor Hall then almost found Teuvo Teravainen on the 5-on-4 power play after Teravainen had scored on the 5-on-3. And Hall found Teuvo Teravainen, and Teravainen put the stick down on the ice on his backhand and basically was trying to redirect it, not even redirect it in, just kind of like put the stick down on the and kind of just guide it into the net, but the puck ended up missing Teravainen's stick, and I had a great angle of it. It was a wide open net because Ilya Sorokin was out of his crease and playing an aggressive type style. So yeah, it was a It was a nice performance by Taylor Hall as well. Connor Murphy finds the back of the net, his first of the season with the empty netter. And then you got Connor Bedard, who scored the game-winning goal for the Blackhawks with 54 seconds left in regulation. He finished with a goal and an assist. Connor was on a three-game point streak, the Winnipeg Rangers and Islanders game, where he had one assist against Winnipeg, an assist against the Rangers, and then he had 3 points against the Islanders in the last meeting, a goal and two assists, and now he has another multi-point game against the Islanders. So that's 5 points now in two games for Connor Bedard against the Islanders, a goal and three assists. Nice to see him find a way to squeak that puck in and the Blackhawks win this game in regulation, because, again, Hawks went into the third period. They were up 3-2. It was another one-goal lead, and then the Islanders score in the third period to trim it to 3-3, 47 seconds into the third period, and the entire building, it felt like, kind of sat back in their seats and was like, oh, no, here we go again. And it got a little dicey, too, at the end with 3:20 left when Ryan Donato was whistled for a tripping penalty. And boy, that was a really late call. I mean, it was the right call, but it was a very late call by the officials. And I think that's probably why Donato was so animated. He literally shattered his stick over the boards, because I think after it happened, he ended up turning around and he didn't see an official have his hand up in the air yet. And then it went up super late. And so he was extremely frustrated about that, even though it was the right call. The Hawks make a really strong kill. Again, penalty kill continues to be awesome. They are now perfect over the last 9 games. I know it was 17 for 17 going into yesterday. I think they killed off 3. So 20. I think that would be 24 for 24 in the last 9 games. I might be a kill or two off, but they have been perfect in that department. So Hawks have been really strong in the penalty kill. The offense is slowly starting to come, scoring 4 goals against the Islanders in the last meeting. They had 2 against the Rangers, but both of those goals came at 5-on-5. They weren't power play, so you can start to see slowly the Blackhawks breaking through offensively, and hopefully they can carry it into the next game. And as they enter this home stretch where they got quite a few home games on the horizon before the holiday season. All right, let's take another break here. We got more to get to on the Blackhawks post-game show, including our save of the game that's coming up right here on 720 WGN.
To Barzal, left face-off dot. Put it beside the net. Pagio back to Barzal. To Chalowski, a one-timer. Soderblom down with a butterfly save, and he'll hold the puck. Well, they've gotten through 59 seconds of the Islander power play here. Face-off will stay in the Hawk zone to Soderblom's right.
That was today's save of the game, which is sponsored by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at comed.com/poweringbiz. Arvid Soderblom was one of 30 saves on the day for him. Ended up facing 33 shots total. He stopped 30 of 33 for a save percentage of .909. And he picks up his second win in the last 3 starts. He had just 1 win in his first 8 starts of the season, and so nice to see him start to build some wins together, because we know how last year went for him in the wins department. He had a real tough time breaking through with some Ws. His play trailed in the second half of the season. Thought he had a good first month of the season last year, and then it was really hard for him to pick up wins, both just performance-wise for himself, but also he wasn't really getting the offensive output. So the Hawks were able to help him offensively in this game, put up 5 goals, and he ended up stopping 14 of 19 shots in the last game against the Islanders on Thursday, and he got pulled in the third period. That was a 737 save percentage. He ended up suffering the loss in that game. That was his worst outing of the season, but man, he has been so good for the Blackhawks in his starts. I think prior to the Islanders game, he had, I think it was like a .923 save percentage in those first 8 starts, in the first 8 starts, somewhere in that area, and he had just 1 win to show for it, unfortunately. And so for him to pick up 2 wins in the last 3 starts and get that bad taste out of his mouth from the Islanders game as well, I will say I was a little surprised that the Hawks ended up splitting the goaltenders the way they did, with with Drew Commesso getting the New Jersey game, much more high-powered offense versus getting Soderblom the New York Islanders game. But it feels like they did that because Chicago was on a second game of a back-to-back today and also traveling from New York to Chicago. So they were maybe forecasting some tired legs by the Blackhawks in this game. And so I don't know if that's an ideal situation that you would want your rookie goaltender to make his NHL debut in. And also it's a home crowd, and sometimes on the road when you just play a little bit more simple and you don't have all the distractions of you can kind of just simplify the game, both having like a road type mentality. Sometimes the road crowd can get a little hostile towards goaltenders, but it was it felt like the decision paid off, the Blackhawks giving Commesso the New Jersey game. Again, he was excellent. Stopped his first 17 shots he faced before things kind of unraveled for the team in the third period. And then Soderblom gets the game today against the Islanders and picks up the win. I also noticed this. I try to keep track of these stats as the season goes on, and sometimes I forget to write them down before every game, and then I have to dig back into them. But I was looking that the Hawks going into this game, they were 7-3-0. When scoring 3+ goals in a hockey game. So they improved to 8-3-0 in that department. They were 2-17-1 when scoring two goals or fewer. And so that's kind of the recipe or the barometer. Score 3 goals in a hockey game and you're going to give yourself a really good chance to win if you're the Blackhawks. But on the flip side, most notably, the Hawks were 8-0-1 they are 8-0-1 when allowing 2 goals or fewer. Today they ended up giving up 3 goals, and it was just the second win they've had all season when allowing 3 goals or more. They were 1-20-0 prior to this game, so now they're 2-20-0. So picking up their second win when trailing. Good to see the Blackhawks finding different ways to win, or finding a different way to win in this hockey game, where even though they got that offensive output, giving up that third goal, could have been a little bit demoralizing for them given the mental fragility of this team over the last few weeks, and talking about the blown leads in the third periods. And oh, by the way, forgot to even mention this stat too. It was the 13th time in the last 14 games the Blackhawks have scored the first goal of the hockey game. They have now scored the first goal 20 times this season. That is a league most. Last season, the next closest team, I can't remember who it was, but I saw it had 18. So the Hawks are now 2 goals ahead of the next best team in scoring the first goal of the hockey game. And how about this? In the first 6 instances where the Blackhawks scored the first goal earlier in the season, they were 5-0-1. And over the last 14 games, the Hawks are 4-9-1 when scoring the first goal. So prior to this game, they were 3-9-1. So good to see them pick up a victory when scoring the first goal, but also when leading in the third period or taking a lead into the third period. All right, let's hear from the player that scored the game-winning goal of the hockey game, Connor Bedard, who finished with 2 points, and hear what he had to say about the win.
Third one in New Jersey yesterday. How nice to turn around and get that one today.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, we felt like, we really gave it away in Jersey, obviously, with that 2-3-minute stretch there. So we'd come in, on a back-to-back and, be able to kind of, grit that one out was good.
Walk us through your winner there.
Yeah, I just kind of try to get lost, and this nice puck kind of just came right to me. Shot it right at its chest, and somehow it kind of found its way in. So, it's nice to get a bounce like that.
Is there something with Anders' system that's working for you, where the production's starting to come back, or is it just one of those things where, okay, it was due to come back at some point?
I don't know. I think it's could be both. I feel like he's been really good with me, kind of one-on-one, helping me out, and I think we're playing a little more aggressive, which obviously benefits the offensive side. But obviously I like to think I can make plays and produce, and that's kind of what I want to do. But he's helped me out a bit for sure.
How much is the energy being at home and being able to get this win is important too?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I feel like we're on kind of a losing streak at home. I don't know for sure, but our fans are coming out every game supporting us, and giving us a lot of energy, and it's so much fun to play here. So just to get a win for them, and have them be able to celebrate at the end of a game like that is great to see.
Kind of a quick turnaround. These are coming up, and then games on back-to-back days. But how do you feel with that first power play unit with the changes?
Yeah, I thought we've had some looks. I mean, he's a great player. He's gonna find spaces and make good plays, and I think just getting accustomed to it takes a couple games, whatever. And he got one practice and he was right in, so he's been great. And we're just gonna keep trying to improve.
That was Blackhawks rookie forward Connor Bedard picking up a win here at the United Center. I felt like this was probably one of the best crowds of the season for the Blackhawks when it comes to energy-wise, and you really feel that in the Saturday or Sunday afternoon games. It feels like fans have time to get here, and it's a weekend. You got kids in the building, and so awesome energy in the building for the Blackhawks, and they were able to see Connor Bedard scored the game-winning goal. But the number one star of the game was Teuvo Teravainen, who had a goal and two assists. Let's hear what he had to say after this game.
Did you guys need a game like that where a team ties you three times, but then you come out with the victory and withstand their pressure?
Yeah, we've been having a tough time of closing the games and winning the tied ones, so just the third periods have to be better, and I think we did a pretty good job today. Just big goal by the end. I think we earned it.
How good was that for you today?
Yeah, it's good. Whenever you can help the team to win the game, and I feel like the puck was bouncing pretty good for me and our line today. Good effort by our line, I think.
To be able to win at home on a back-to-back is pretty important, too.
Yeah, of course. Just coming home, body might feel a little tired, but just getting the energy from the home crowd here, that was big.
Do you feel like you guys are getting comfortable with the system? It seemed like you guys were able to create some forecheck pressure and maybe create some chances off of that.
Yeah, for sure. I think just we're getting better and better. Just, of course, learning all the time. But just getting that pressure and the timing, I think it's paying off.
What'd you see on your power play goal?
I just got the puck and tried to shoot it. It was a good play by Betsy. It just comes in and slides to me, and I just tried to shoot it.
What does it say about Arvid after getting pulled against the same team on Thursday to come out and play the way he did today?
That was big. He's been playing great for us. I think all the goalies are. We just got to help the goalies better, for sure. But he's been great, and today it was awesome with him.
That was Teuvo Teravainen, the number one star of the game. We got one more break, and then we're going to wrap up the Blackhawks postgame show after this on 720 WGN. Back here at the United Center, where the Blackhawks pulled off a 5-3 win over the New York Islanders, the first of a three-game homestand for Chicago, which leads us to our next game preview, which is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. The Washington Capitals are going to be in town on Tuesday night here at the United Center. It's going to be the second of a back-to-back for them. They're going to play in Dallas tomorrow and then face Chicago on Tuesday. Man, the Capitals are an unbelievable hockey team right now. 21-6-2. They're number one in the entire NHL in points with 44. And they are a very good road team. 12-2-0 in the 14 games they've played on the road. And I was looking at their underlying numbers, and they are very strong. Like, this is not a fluke hockey team where they're overachieving by incredibly hot goaltending or an incredibly unsustainable shooting percentage. They do have the seventh best team save percentage at .904. The interesting thing about them, Logan Thompson and Charlie Lindgren are the two goaltenders, and they have literally alternated starts in every single game this season except one of them. And so, they really kind of ride that goalie rotation. The guy to look out for, Dylan Strome, former Blackhawk, 37 points this season, tied for 14th in the NHL, and his 27 assists are also tied for 9th. He is having an awesome season, and I think we're all waiting to see if Alex Ovechkin is going to return for the Chicago game. We'll have to wait and see, but the Blackhawks better be ready for the Capitals. Blackhawks hockey is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circa Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. Big thanks to all the help we got on the broadcast today, our on-site reporter of Jack Heinrich, and our production crew of Patrick Hennessy and Tony Denardis. They were led by our engineers, the captains Ricardo Betancourt here at the United Center and Krista Flores back at the station. For John Weideman and Troy Murray, I'm Charlie Romeliotis signing off after a 5-3 Blackhawks win over the Islanders at the United Center. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Tuesday night from the UC.